and the rest of you tonight. It's been a kind of dreary week. Looks like every time you turn around, it'll rain for a while and quit for a while. But I believe it's doing more raining than it is quitting for a while. Oh, me. But I don't think it's going to be much longer. I don't think. But maybe after this spell, it will have warm weather and everything. I'm looking forward to it. All our people that we need to remember. I was informed this week that I can't even remember the preacher's names, but quite many preachers today that is they've been hit by strokes. Some of them massive strokes, and some of them heart attacks. You know, the devil is fighting. He's fighting the church. He's fighting the one that has taken a stand on what they believe and what they truly have been trusting God with all these years. And I know that the Lord has things that He wants us to do, but we have to look after ourselves too. And sometimes we get so bogged down with life itself and everything else I hear that we forget about really what we need to be doing. Now, I do thank you, each and every one of you, for your prayers. This week, I mean, I haven't done to be able to do anything. I don't know why, but I mean, I've been running a fever up until yesterday afternoon. Thank the Lord for that, where I could be here tonight, because I wasn't going to come if I had a fever, because I didn't want to come and bring it and give it to any of y'all. But we also need God's Word to help us day by day. If we don't, we're gonna fall into the devil's trap. But tonight, I don't think I've preached this message before. But if I have, I promise you, it won't come out the same way. In Acts chapter 9, and before we get into God's Word and start reading, I just want to say this. I do thank you once again for your many prayers. And I thank you for not allowing the doors here at this church to close. Because it took the faithfulness that y'all had and the love that y'all had for the Lord, the reason the doors are still open. And it may not be but a few of us, but there where individuals saved, you have four individuals: yourself, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. So that's four. That's when he says we must go out. We can go into the highways and the hedges. We can go out and we can have fellowship where one or two are gathered. We can have fellowship. And I believe he's talking about where we can have fellowship. Amen. With the Lord. Because if I didn't have the Lord to have fellowship with, some days I don't know what I'd do. I don't think I'd make it. But I do thank you for your prayers, and thank you for keeping the doors open. I know God's going to honor it. I know God's going to bless it. And He's going to honor it and bless it in His time. We cannot get ahead of Him. And he's going to do, and when he does it, I promise you, it's going to be right. When he does it, it's going to be right. And you're going to be, and when he does it now, you better be ready to work. Because that's what he's going to want us to do. But here tonight for a little while, I just want to speak tonight a little bit on Paul and the zeal that Paul had. We know that Paul, where he worked at, I mean, he worked for an individual that went about going and having Christians murdered and having the synagogues closed. That's what their position was. And that was one of his obligations to the job that he had at hand, was to go about and closing the churches. It says in verse 35 of chapter 8, said, Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. Who was he preaching to? He was preaching to Paul. He was preaching to Paul. He was telling Paul all about Jesus. And he was explaining to him that if he would just give his heart and his life to Jesus, that he could have the same desire that I believe Philip had. And not only that, in verse 39 it says, and when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. Rejoicing. Can you rejoice today? Can you rejoice today in knowing that Jesus Christ has paid the sin debt for you? If he has, and if you're saved, yes, you can rejoice. And we need to rejoice more than we ever have before. I know in times past you've heard of revivals going on and the churches being full. Yes, and they were. And they had some good evangelists to come by and bring the Word of God and preach. And you've seen revival break out within the church and within the community. And it wouldn't just stay in that one church and one community. It would spread to other churches. We've seen that. And we've read about that in times past. But what about today? Why aren't we seeing that anymore today? God hasn't changed. God hasn't changed one bit. We are the one that's changed. We are the ones who won't allow God or won't allow the Holy Spirit to come in and do the work that they need to do. God's house is where majority of the people today and in the past is where they got saved. Why? Because it's through I think I mentioned this Sunday, the foolishness of preaching to the sinner, to the lost person. It is foolish for me. They're looking at me as a foolish individual, the way I would take my time out and I would study the Bible that they say that I do not understand. Well, they're wrong. I do understand it. And the reason I understand it is because I know that the Lord Jesus Christ is my Savior. And I know that the Holy Spirit is my guide. And He teaches me day by day. I know that. But why isn't the Lord having its way today in the churches today? I believe it lies within the people's hands today. Do we really, sincerely want the Lord to come in and manifest Himself and make His presence known among the people in the church today? Do we? If we do, then we will just move out of the way and say, Lord, I felt Your presence here, and I'm going to just move out of the way. I'm going to just let You have Your way. I'm going to let You go around. I'm going to let You do what You want to do. I tell you what, now, I cannot get up here. If I got up here alone, and if I tried on my own to read the Scripture and try to preach, then I would be so nervous. I would be so bumfuzzled and everything else. I couldn't be able to stand up here. See, I always try my very best when I pray, when I come up here. I'm always talking to the Lord. Lord, I want Your will to be done, not my will. My will can't be done. It can't be done without Him. But the zeal for God's house should remove all bitterness that we have among individuals, and most of all, among God. We'll allow for somebody to hurt us or to come up and knock something off our shoulder and get us all upset. And then we'll just go our merry way. And we don't have fellowship with the Lord anymore. You might say, well, preacher, I can still have fellowship. I can still have fellowship with the Lord. I can still have fellowship with Him every day. Yes, I watch preaching on the TV tube. I listen to preaching on the radio. That's good. And that's fine. But when was the last time that you ever received any kind of emotions or feelings from going up and putting your hands around that TV or around that radio in the message you just heard? How many times have you been up there and you was able to stick your hand out to that TV or to the radio and want to shake the preacher's hand? You can't do it. It's impossible to do that and have the same fellowship that you do in a local church. It's the local church that God looks to. It's the local church that sends out the missionaries. I had a grandmother years ago. This was before she passed away and everything. And my mother and her adopted son, they got upset with her. They got upset with her to the point that she was sending I don't know how much she was sending. It won't that much. But she was sending some money to this preacher and to this church. But I will say one thing. She done that, but she did not start up her own church. She was there at her own church the next Sunday when the doors was open. And she was there on Sunday night. And she was there on Wednesday night. And when it snowed, and back in the late 50s and the early 60s, you had some pretty good snows back then. And her adopted son lived right across the road from her. When Sunday morning come, he knew that he had to be at her door Sunday morning. In time enough to get her to Sunday school. She didn't allow the snow to keep her away from church. She didn't allow that to keep her away from church the way she could come and she could hear the preacher that she had just sent money to last month. She went to church. She had the zeal in her own heart and in her own life to be in God's house. But not only that, she also had the zeal to go about telling other people about it. I can remember time and time again her telling me and telling my brother next to me, Darrell, one now that's passed on. She'd come and around April and first part of May, and he says, "Well, next month y'all gonna be getting out of school. Now I don't know if y'all want to come out to the house this summer like you've been coming." And we'd always go up and say, "Yes, Grandma, I want to come. I want to come and be on the farm with you. I want to come and just be there when y'all was in tobacco and harvesting tobacco. I wanted to be there with her and my granddaddy." But the last thing that she would say to me and him both, "You can come, but you know the stipulations." "Yes, Grandma, I know stipulations." I was hoping she's going to be kind of lenient on us. She says, "You know that Sunday morning, Sunday night, you're going to be at church. And Wednesday night, you're going to be at church also. You know that's one of the stipulations." We say, "Yes, we know." We would rather take the time out, them 3, 4, or 5 hours a week, and go to church to where we could come and spend some time on the farm. People today don't even want the children today, if they do happen to have a farm or any part of the family, the grandparents, if they have a part of the farm, "No, I don't care anything about going. I don't want to go this year." They don't want to go spend no time. They don't want to go spend no time with family today. Well, I'll tell you what, if they don't start spending some time today with the family, today is there's going to be a day and time when you're going to wish you to spend some more time with your family. Because it's going to get to that time where you ain't going to have the zeal anymore in your heart and in your life to be with your loved ones and to be in the house of the Lord. "Can two walk together except they agree?" Nope. Nope. I can't walk with somebody all day unless we agree on things. I ain't talking about, and what he's speaking about right here, he's speaking about God's word. But I'm just speaking like that in general. No. We have got to make some kind of agreement within ourselves that yes, we're going to do something together. We can do it here at the house of God also. We can do it together. Because when one, he and his church, when one hurts and is in pain, then there's another one in the church also should hurt and in pain. Because we can feel the pain that they're carrying. I believe Paul felt all the pain that he shed. But it says right here, it says in verse 2, said in chapter 9, and desired of him letters of Damascus to go to the synagogue, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he meant bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. Verse 5. And he said, who art thou, Lord? That's the first time Paul mentioned anything at all about him in knowing the Lord. You have to know him as your personal Savior before you can know that he's your Lord. And when you can call him Lord, then other people around you know what kind of relationship you have. Yes. He was my Savior at first. But as more I got in God's Word, more I read and more I matured in His Word and everything, He became my Lord. And seeing when He became my Lord, it became personal. It became personal between me and Him. And what I was doing, well, I was doing something and I was trying to do it in a personal way. We need to remember that what we do it not because of ourselves, but because of Jesus Christ. And we also do it because the other people that are surround us. Because if you realize it or not, the people that are around you each and every day, there's some people's going to die and go to hell. And I know y'all have heard this phrase before time and time and time again, that you and I, we are the only Bible the whole lot of people will ever pick up and read. And that is our life. What can they say about my life? Can they say something about my life that would illuminate around them and cause them to want to come in and have fellowship with the Lord Jesus? Could they? Or am I doing something wrong and causing them not to come in and have fellowship? But what are we doing? Are we doing the things according to this book? According to the King James Bible that will bring honor and glory to Him? If it's not bringing honor and glory to the Lord Jesus Christ, then
We need to back up. We need to get back on our knees. We need to get back to having our prayer life. We need to get to the point that we have a prayer life. And we, yes, and the kind of prayer life I'm talking about, you spend the first 5 or maybe 10 minutes praying about your own self, praying about this and that, what you can do and what somebody else, what I can do to help somebody else. But then we get down to business, and then we say, God, what must I do? Just like Paul said right here. Verse 6, and he trembled, astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. See, it wasn't the Lord had come to Paul after Paul had said, Lord. Then the Lord telling Paul about, well, Paul, you must do this and you got to do this because people are watching your life. No. Paul went to the Lord and said, Lord, what must I do? What do you want me to do for you? We go out here and talk to people. We go out here and just pray for people. We go out here and just pray for the meal that we're about to partake of. That is telling the Lord, I agree with you, Lord. And the Lord's going to thank you for helping him. For helping him out. Because see, people can see us. The lost can see us. See, the lost knows us. The lost don't know anything at all about God. They don't know anything about God. But we have to let them know something about God through our walk, through our prayer life, because that's when we can have the zeal. We can have the enthusiasm to keep on going. To keep on going. I want to ask you this question, and I'm going to got one other thought after this, but I want to ask you this question. I want you to think about it. I've had it said to me also, and I hadn't been that bit right at a year. But how many times, or have you ever been asked, what's the use in y'all keeping your doors open? God's not blessing it. God's not blessing it. They said, what's the use of you taking your time out and doing what you can to keep your doors open? Won't you just sell the building? Won't you just close it and take the money that you receive from it, give it to missionaries? Is there anybody in here that has not had anybody to ask you that? If they haven't, just hold on for a day or two. They will. Why? Because they know that this church stands for something. They know that the people here stand for something. But even with that said, I know each and every one of you that are here, y'all have hurt more, and y'all have been hurt more by other people and by the people that was closest to you there at one time. But don't give up, because breakthrough is right around the corner. Light at the end of the tunnel, right around the corner. The zeal. You know, I believe that when the devil tries his very best to destroy some of God's work through his people or through someone else, yes, the people do get discouraged. You're not above that. I'm not above that. We're going to all get discouraged at one time or another. But see, God, he can bring back that zeal. He can bring back that purpose. And how does he do that? He brings it around when this church got started. And all the people was here, so many people that got saved. You know that people in the past has been saved here. Hey, I know that. I'm not foolish enough to tell nobody. Hadn't nobody ever got saved in here. I know they have. But the zeal for God's house should take the emptiness, away from us that we have. Yeah, we all have an emptiness in our heart, in our life. Because we don't understand why. We don't understand why we go through things in life. We just don't understand it. But see, God knows everything. God knows everything. God is everywhere. And it's not nothing that God can't do. It is impossible to please man. And God's been trying to please man for thousands of years. And it hasn't happened yet. We must have the zeal like Paul had. And I think what Paul was an inspiration to the Gentile people, which we are the Gentile people. Paul was an inspiration to me and to you. I can tell you that with authority, and knowing that if Paul wasn't an inspiration to me and to you, why did God allow him to have so many books
in the Bible to be written by Paul. But I think one thing about Paul, when Paul said that he had a thorn in the side of his flesh, I'm not going to tell you that this is what it was. I don't know. But what I think is a possibility could be, it could be all the things that he had done to the Christian and to the church before he ever got saved. I think that always come back to him, and he remembered each and every incident that he was involved in. I don't know. I've had some people to tell me, I've had some preachers to ask me, says, well, I think when I get to heaven, I'm going to ask Paul, what was it? The thorn in the side of his flesh. I ain't going to have to answer that. Because seeing something, I believe just as soon as I start hearing the trumpet blow, and once I start on the way home, I'm going to already know. I'm not going to worry about what the thorn was in the side of Paul's flesh. I'm not going to want to know why Peter denied the Lord. And I'm not going to want to know why Abraham offered up his only son, Isaac. And I'm not going to have to ask Isaac what was running through his mind when his own father, the father of all nations, laid him on that altar that day. I'm not going to need to know all of that. I'm going to already know it, ain't I? Because I'm going to have a glorified body. Perfect unto the Son of God. And the only one that I want to see, the only one that I really want to go to, the only one I want to bow down to and ask something, and that's the Lord Jesus. And I just want to ask him, Lord, how could you love a sinner like me to where my sins put you on the cross? But thank you. Thank you for doing that for me. Thank you. We need to start living an exciting life. We don't need to live the rest of what time we got living here on this earth as a dreary life, because we got something better to look forward to. Something a whole lot better to look forward to than a whole lot of people. I know I've got to get past the Lord Jesus Christ until everything's going to be okay. Because I'm going to have to stand before God the Father and God the Son. And I'm going to have to give an account for every message that I've ever preached, every word that I've ever spoken, everything that I've ever tried to do for the Lord, I won't have to give an account for it. You're going to have to give an account also. Everyone stand, all heads bowed and eyes closed. His brother Bill comes, gets a song ready. Our Father, we want to thank you, Lord, for just meeting with us tonight. We thank you, Father, for thy presence. And Father, we know, Lord Jesus, if it wasn't for you and your presence, that we should have just went on home. But Father, I knew that thy presence was here. Because you say in your word, that if we'll just come and confess our sins, Lord, you'll forgive us. And God, you'll cleanse our body and cleanse our soul and cleanse our life. Now, Lord, we just pray for this invitation that God, that you may touch the hearts here tonight. Father, we pray, Lord Jesus, that each one of us here tonight, that we would get excited about serving you. And get excited about the things that you've done for us, to where we can get excited in sharing them things to other people. Your many, many blessings. And Father, we do thank you for them. And Lord Jesus, we ask God that you'll continue to be with Faith Baptist Church. Father, be with all the individuals, all the members of the church. Father, the ones who won't hear tonight. We ask, Lord Jesus, you go right to where they're at, that you may just speak to their heart tonight. Father, the ones that come in and join with us. Father, for some reason, they've left us. Lord, we just ask God that you will just help them. Father, that you may bring them back. Touch their heart. And Father, all the people that we have visited, all the people that we have spoken to, Lord Jesus, we ask that you would bring them back to the house of the Lord, the next appointed time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.